The schoolyard was crowded. Hundreds of women, young and old, clutched the hands of their children and found what space they could in the packed courtyard. Nearby, Wehrmacht soldiers, rifles slung over their shoulders, looked on as the families slowly drifted in from towns and villages across the area. These women had been summoned by order of their new German masters, ordered to bring their children to the school for medical tests. Upon arrival, they were arrested and told to wait. Otto Lucher, commander of the police and security services for the region, watched, relaxed and impassive, his hands resting comfortably in his pockets as the yard filled with families. Once, Lucher had been Hitler's jailer. Now he was the Führer's leading henchman in Lower Styria. He held the rank of SS Standartenführer, the paramilitary equivalent of a full colonel in the army. But that summer's morning, he was casually dressed in a two-piece civilian suit. Yugoslavia had been under Nazi rule for 16 months. In March 1941, as the surrounding countries of Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria joined the Reich's alliance of Balkan nations, Hitler put pressure on the kingdom's ruler, the regent, Prince Paul, to fall into line. The prince and his cabinet bowed to the inevitable, formally tying Yugoslavia to the Axis powers. But the Serb-dominated army launched a coup d'état, replacing Paul with his 17-year-old second cousin, Prince Peter. News of the revolt reached Berlin on March 27th. Hitler took the coup as a personal insult and issued Directive 25, formally designating the country as an enemy of the Reich. The Führer ordered his armies to destroy Yugoslavia militarily and as a state. A week later, the Luftwaffe began a devastating bombing campaign, while divisions of Wehrmacht infantry and tanks of the Panzer Corps swept through towns and villages. The Royal Yugoslavian Army was no match for Germans' blitzkrieg troops. On April the 17th, the country surrendered. The occupying troops immediately set about fulfilling Hitler's instruction to dismantle all vestiges of the state. 65,000 people, primarily intellectuals and nationalists, were exiled, imprisoned, or murdered, their homes and property handed over to the new German masters. The Slovene language was prohibited. But for the rest of 1941, and throughout the first half of 1942, partisan groups, led by the communist Josip Broz Tito, fought a determined campaign of resistance. Germany retaliated with a brutal crackdown. The Gestapo swooped on fighters and civilians alike, deporting thousands to concentration camps across the Reich. Others were selected to be executed as a warning against resistance. In a nine-month period, beginning in September 1941, 374 men and women were lined up against the walls of the prison yard at Celje and summarily shot. Photographers recorded the murders for posterity and propaganda. On June the 25th, 1942, Heinrich Himmler, the second most powerful and feared man in Nazi Germany, issued orders to his secret police and SS officers to eliminate partisan resistance. This campaign possesses every required element to make harmless the population which has supported the bandits and provided them with human resources, weapons, and shelter. Men from such families, and often even their relatives, must be shot, the women locked up and transported to concentration camps, and the children must be torn from their motherland and instead accommodated in the territories of the old Reich. I expect to be provided with a special report on the number of children and their racial values. Against this bloody backdrop, 1,262 people, many the surviving relatives of the partisans executed as an example to the rest of the population, assembled in the schoolyard that August morning to await their fate.